Welcome back to the Boys Dynasty Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm your co-host, Josh Schaefer, back again with Brian Henn. Brian, it's great to have you here.
It is so great to be back. I have been looking forward to this since, about midday Sunday.
Wow.
I cannot wait to talk about this.
That's really exciting because I think the Fantasy Football League is probably not used to this kind of continuity with podcasts. You know, at this point, they're like once a month, I feel like it would be generous, but we're delivering them one in each of the first 2 weeks. So I think we're really doing our job. So I appreciate you joining.
Same. This is like premier podcasting, I would say. I'm impressed with continuity here.
Yeah, this is like how Sloan and I started at the very onset of like the podcasts where we were doing it every single week. It doesn't burn out per se, but it does become a bit of a burden overall. I would be interested if we could bring Sloan back to see what he thinks about it, because obviously I think he's a little bit less committed to it at this point. But when you're doing it every single week, sometimes you kind of get to a point where you're just like, I really don't want to do this anymore.
Yeah, definitely. I feel like too, I think we're going to go through a lull in the middle of the season. You know, these first like 4 or 5 weeks where everything's new and exciting again, it's, you know, and there's trades happening and waiver wire every week and stuff. You know, it's, I think it's totally worth getting on here. Lots of new stuff to talk about. But I think, you know, during that those weeks, you know, 6 through 12 of the season, we're going to definitely have to either dig deep or, you know, kind of go off script, do some, you know, focus on some other items, because I agree. I think it can get a little redundant in the middle. And then at the end, you get all the playoff stuff. So that's fun, at least.
Yes. No, we're going to have a great season this year, Brian. We're doing totally. It every week. Yeah, we don't need to act like it's already done. This is a renewed, I came back this year feeling refreshed. We had our wonderful off season where literally nothing happened. And that was great. I was kind of wishing that we had done it in our Reddit league almost a little bit, because I like didn't have to think about like, oh, McCaffrey's injured, like need to pick up Mason in early August, or like what's going on with the Bengals receiving room. Like,
totally.
It was nice to just basically have a day where you cared about everything and were able to catch up on the news.
So have you come around to the idea of a later draft going forward to like further extend that kind of dry spell?
I mean, I think I just had one of the greatest rookie drafts of all time this year.
Oh, you don't say. That's the first time I've heard that from you.
It's, yeah, I mean, just on paper, it's an incredible draft. And so if you guys are going to screw it up this much every year by waiting until August, like, I'm happy to wait till whenever you decide you want to do it. Like, you know, I think there is something that maybe I thought it worked to the advantage of players to, like, players who cared more to do it earlier, but I don't even know at this point. Like,
I don't either.
The buzz really starts to generate around certain players, and that's when your, like, what were your rankings after the draft actually really mattered, because are you willing to stick to them once the hype of preseason is done, which I think, like, you can get some more value in certain areas because of that. So I don't know. I kind of like it. What do you think?
I do too. I think it was a blast. I think it was a really good decision. I first like it for kind of the, you know, reason you're mentioning, where we kind of had our off season. You didn't have to like rev it back up for the draft. You know, we didn't have these 2 months of, you know, camp news and injury news and, you know, who like has shown up in the best shape of their life or anything like that, you know, that just gets kind of annoying, you know, over the course of a couple months. So I love that we just waited, you know, till the end of August and did it almost like a redraft, you know, right when everybody else is talking about their drafts, we got to do ours. And honestly, I'm curious for your thoughts, but I love doing it in person. Like, it was so fun to just kind of, you know, give each other a hard time over picks or like do the live trading and stuff. And that was a blast. And I think it's worth continuing in the future.
100%. That was, I mean, I do dream of a day where all of us could be in a room together during the draft. I think that would be great. But even just having six of us there and then, you know, the four guys up on the screen and everything, it was a very cherished fantasy football memory. I feel like I was feeling so out on fantasy football after the end of last year, and it was a great way to just kind of usher us back into the league this year. So it was really
I didn't
good.
even have a pick until like the end of the fourth round, and I was having a blast. Like, I wasn't even involved in it really, and it was
I
fun to
mean,
just.
you had that monster deal though. It did kind of
Yeah.
like sneak in.
It happened after, but it was like we were at least discussing it during the draft.
It was a huge deal. The more I think about it, the more I'm like, I can't believe we never really talked about that last week, because that was
Yeah,
like
it's true.
that was a huge deal. I think we
What are
should.
your, yeah, give me
Go
your
ahead.
analysis.
I mean, I really like Malik Nabers. I think he is going to be really good. 2027 first. That's so far away. I don't know. I'm just like, Drake London. That's a lot. It's a lot. I mean, the thing is,
Yeah.
the piece is Jaden Reed. I feel like he could be the true wild card of the trade, where if he ends up
Totally.
being a stud, then it's really good. But I think you've kind of moved on to the whole, like, I don't want to own any picks, which I'm really surprised by. Like, what has done that for you? Are you, wait, before that though, do you still pay for fantasy football content at this point, or have you given up your paid subscriptions? Weren't you a
No, I
Dynasty
still,
Nerds guy? Okay.
yeah, I still have a Dynasty Nerds account. It's
What
helpful. It's helpful.
did they think
I
about
like.
this one? I know you did it yourself, so I'm not trying to say you're
I
some like.
actually, yeah, I didn't even run this one through Dynasty Nerds, which is crazy, just because of how big it was. But I'll do
Wow.
that. I'll do that while we talk tonight, and I'll circle back. But I think it's a like it's a good just kind of double check for me to have that. You know, just to make sure I'm not totally missing the boat on something. But yeah, sometimes I use it, sometimes I don't. It's a little hit or miss. But anyway, that trade for me, you know, like you were talking about not really holding picks anymore. I just feel like my team, I have set up a really solid, you know, core. And so a first round pick in 2027 doesn't do as much value for me as another piece to like further extend my depth and my core group here. So to me, like I can't start that 2027 first round pick anytime over the next 3 years when I'm trying to, you know, break into the playoffs or win a championship or anything like that. Like I can never start that pick. So to me, I would rather flip, you know, and I essentially did get a first round pick. I got Malik Nabers in this deal back. So I've essentially just traded a 2027 first along with other stuff, obviously, but I traded away one first and brought another first in as a result of this trade that I can start over the next 3 or 4 years. And honestly, if Malik Nabers is as good as I think most people expect him to be, you know, Malik Nabers in 2027 will be exactly the type of player that I would have loved to have picked with that first round pick. And honestly, Josh, that has become my mindset in evaluating all trades.
I love
I've
this.
I talk to Matt about this all the time. If you, and this goes for all managers in our league, if you are trading away a young player or a player in their prime, you know, or even like halfway through their prime for a first round pick. And you know, let's say there's very little else, or you know, just some filler thrown in there. What are you doing? Like you're trading away the exact type of player that you would hope, you would pray that you could get with the pick that you're acquiring. And that to me is like what just baffles me about some deals. You'll see the, you know, I don't even know. You'll see I'll just use Rashad White just since we use this deal. If you do Rashad White for first and that's it, like Rashad White is a good player and Rashad White is the type of player you would want to get with a first, especially you know, a mid to late first. So to me, that's like the prism in which I view a lot of big trades. Does that make sense?
It makes sense, Brian, but I have to say, in this specific trade, it feels like you're going against that because you're trading away Drake London, who is entering his potential prime as a wide receiver with a good quarterback.
Okay, so this is a good conversation topic then. So you believe in Drake London?
I believe that the situation that Drake London, I believe in Kirk Cousins, and I traded for him this week, so
Obviously.
obviously proving that, right? So bias here, but I do think that Kirk Cousins is the best quarterback that Drake London has had, and so I think Drake London has had really bad quarterbacks. I don't think that's controversial. Desmond Ritter, I mean Taylor Heineke's going through there, like. Kirk Cousins is the best. I even
Bad
think
quarterbacks.
if it's Michael Penix, that's still a decent upgrade based on what we know, right? Rookies are total hit or miss. But Malik Nabers, that quarterback situation is basically as bad as what Drake London was in. So I don't know. It's hard to say on Drake London if he's actually bad because he had like a good rookie year, you know, but
See,
I
okay, so here's why I felt like trading away Drake London did not break my golden rule. I think if Drake London reaches his ceiling, he is a 15 to 25, finishes 15 to 25 in the wide receiver rankings,
Kind of like T. Higgins, like,
like a
yeah.
T. Higgins, like a Michael Pittman, all those types. That to me is what he's like.
I get
I
you.
have enough of those players. I don't
You
need
do.
another one of those. I
Yeah.
need a top five wide receiver. And my hope is that I have bought Malik Nabers at the lowest possible price that he will have over the next 8 years. This may fall flat and, fall flat, and Malik Nabers may only ever be a 15 to 25 receiver, but I'm banking on him being more than that.
Yeah.
And I honestly also feel like if Drake London doesn't do it this year, his value drops really quickly, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Like, if he doesn't have a top, I don't know, what would you say? Top 25 wide receiver finish this
For
year,
sure. Yeah, top
like,
25.
there's no way I would get any kind of return like I got for him right now. So to me, I've just passed off a lot of risk onto Mike. Now, obviously, Mike got plenty of other assets to insulate him from the risk,
Yeah.
but I've passed off that risk and I've taken on, now I've just accepted Jaden Reed and Malik Nabers, who are inherently risky as well, but at least the runway on
Value. Yeah,
their
yeah, yeah.
value is much longer.
Yeah, I agree with you on that because even if Drake London has a like a 20 wide receiver 25 year, it's going to be hard to probably trade like he there's so many receivers in that tier. It's like the DJ Moore, Pittman, Higgins, like just these guys that you're never going to get great return for, but you still want to keep them because you're like, what if they turn in a year finally? That's really good. I get it. I get it. I
Is a wide
just.
receiver 25 finish a disappointment for Drake London this
Oh,
year?
for sure. For sure. When you drafted him second overall, yeah, I
Yeah.
mean, you're probably disappointed in that draft pick overall,
Totally.
honestly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, that was taking him second overall is a huge investment.
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah, I
Yeah,
don't
I
know.
agree.
It'll be interesting. I'm really interested in this one because when I hear you say like, "Why are you trading someone in their prime for a young guy?"
Yep.
It's like this is exactly
I
what
get
this
it.
deal
I
is.
just, to me, Drake, I like Drake London is not worth the risk. Like, he has not shown me that he is a, like, I don't think he's ever going to be a bench player, but like,
Yeah.
he has not shown me that he is somebody that I want to, hitch my wagon to.
Yeah. That's
And
the hardest part of Dynasty is when do you sell on the young assets? Like
yeah.
if they have three or four more, like if they have more prime or they go into the prime, you feel horrible. And if you hold the bag, it doesn't take too many of those guys to completely fuck your roster over. And you're
Yeah.
just like, what am I doing now?
You talk about like Malik Nabers' quarterback situation. I would actually like, I again think there's less risk in Malik Nabers' situation than there is in Drake London's. And hear me out.
I'm
If
listening.
Drake London has a wide receiver 25 season, generally a disappointment, it probably means that Kirk Cousins was not as good as people were expecting him to be. So that means that next year, in Drake London's fourth season in the NFL, you're either going to have Kirk Cousins 1 year older than he was in the season in which he was very disappointing, or you're going to have Michael Penix, who is a total wild card. You have no idea what you're getting
Yeah.
with Malik Nabers if Daniel Jones is even half as bad as he was in week one, which I would expect to be the case.
Yeah, me too.
He's probably gone next year. With the Giants, like, they could very well bring in a free agent quarterback. They could draft a quarterback in the top five if there's one there. Like, I.
This is copium,
Here's
Brian.
a
You're
question.
coping right now. You're coping.
Here's a question. Over the next, whose quarterback situation would you take over the next 5 years without knowing any names necessarily that are tied to it? Whose would you take?
I would take the Falcons for sure. No
Really?
doubt in my mind. Yeah, it's really not close, honestly.
Okay, interesting.
Because they already
Because
had
you like
the
Penix or.
I don't feel a certain way about Penix. I only took him in the draft because I felt like it was good value. Like I did not even want to take him at the pick that I took him at. I just felt like he had the highest chance of getting value. But they have a like I think the Achilles injury is scary. Kirk had a really bad week one, so I think people are overreacting. A lot of quarterbacks had
Sure.
really horrible week ones. Nobody plays in the preseason anymore, whatever. Kirk Cousins is a proven decent quarterback, right? The Giants haven't had a proven decent quarterback in a really, really long time. And if they are bad again, bringing in a free agent quarterback is really hard, like to get a good one. So at least the Falcons still have their quarterback of the future, I say in quotes. Whereas if you're the Giants, you have Daniel Jones under insane money, the same money that Kirk Cousins is under, and
Yeah.
Drew Lock, I guess, if Daniel Jones continues to suck, it just feels to me like, and I hate to say it, but Wandale Robinson is there.
You had to go there.
12 targets week one. I mean,
He's probably going on the trade block immediately after this pod, guys.
I don't know. I respect the risk. I do believe Malik Nabers is a better talent than Drake London was. So I think it's a better bet in that sense. But for the quarterback situation, I think it's hard to not say you'd take the Falcons.
Fair. Okay.
How would you
We
take the
will.
Giants? Would you actually take the Giants?
I would. I think Michael Penix is going to be terrible.
Terrible.
Yeah. I think like the injury history, like combined with like I don't really feel like he's all that accurate of a passer. Like, I don't know. It's just not a situation I feel great about. And I agree. I don't think Kirk Cousins is going to be as bad as he is in week one, but he could get injured. He could have taken a step down from last year. Who knows? And it's like, I think you only have Kirk Cousins for 1 or 2 seasons. You're not going to sit Penix for more than 1 or 2 years. And then it's like, if I'm right about Penix and you have 2 or 3 bad years of Penix, then all of a sudden here you are, 5 years down the line and Drake London has never had a good quarterback.
Yeah.
Whereas the Giants, it's terrible, terrible, terrible this year, but there, I feel like there's a much higher ceiling for the Giants 5 years from now than there is for the Falcons 5 years from now with what
Interesting.
we know currently.
I'm excited to look back on this one. I feel like
Me
this
too.
has serious candidacy for either like worst best trade for one of
Yeah.
these two teams. So
I agree.
it'll be a fun one to see. But I think it's time. We have plenty of more trades to revisit later in this podcast, but I think it's time we jump into week one results. Brian, the table format was alive and well in week one. We had a very fun Monday night football going on. Four teams finished within 6 points of each other, with the other teams pretty close by across the board. It was a great way to start the season, I would say. Bad offensive play in the NFL, but at least fun for fantasy football. How did you feel about week one?
Totally. The Monday night game was the perfect example of what's been so awesome about table format. Like, it was like 11:30 at night Eastern time when that game was wrapping up. And I, even though it was a terrible game, I could not go to bed because it was like every play mattered all the way up until, like the about 30 seconds left in the game or whatever it was when the Jets scored their last touchdown. But it was like, imagine if that touchdown goes to Garrett Wilson in the last minute. Like Mike, as Austin pointed out in the group meet, jumped multiple people there with some garbage time Garrett Wilson points. If he gets that touchdown, Mike gets third, which is like pretty wild. So
That's
for me, I
crazy.
was just sitting there like crossing my fingers, hoping for anybody but Garrett Wilson to score. So just amazing. drama in week one, exactly what we're looking for to wet our whistles a little bit. I
Ooh.
do think it was a, I agree, it was like one of the worst weeks in terms of, fantasy production. But I
Yeah.
also feel like that's what happens every year, week one. Like I remember last year, week one just kind of being a very disappointing output. And it's, kind of same thing this time around. So your team had an awesome week. Dylan's team, really came through. Kind of rough week for Colin. A couple teams, and then as you mentioned, all those teams kind of bunched up in the middle there.
Yeah, we didn't see much separation, I would agree. My team was really the only team that separated itself from the pack, which I can't say is too surprising. I think
No.
I have the best lineup at this point. If you could pick one starting lineup, it would be mine.
Yeah.
Especially with the Puka injury, I feel like it's just like huge for Cooper Kupp. It was weird because I kind of knew I was going to be first, like by the time the Monday night games came on, so I wasn't as into the table as I typically would be, which was a little disappointing for week one. But yeah, I mean, it was good results. I think it was interesting to see you and Matt in the top four. I feel like nobody was expecting that at all after week
Matt
one.
was the shocker of the week.
Oh my
Like,
gosh, yeah. I mean, and
yeah.
Matt's was very lucky, right? Like 2 points, and he's, if he has three less fantasy points, he's, in sixth. So things
Yeah.
change, but he had a really good week. His players were looking pretty good. Like I went into the season not loving Matt's team, and now I'm like, I feel like it's so weird, even after week one, the way I felt about the lineups before we started versus now. I don't know. I feel like there's a lot of teams that really actually could make the playoffs this year if they stay healthy, because I
Yeah.
think a lot of the teams are really lacking depth, but most teams did pretty well in week one.
Yeah, I agree. I do have to call out, I know this will pain you a little bit, but I do find it very impressive that Mike's team finished as high as it did when I believe if you looked through, there was not a single touchdown by any of his
Wow.
position players.
That's
So
crazy.
that is. So like that is. And I mean, like some really poor production from Kincaid, London. Tank Dell probably did a little bit less than he was looking for. Garrett Wilson definitely did. So, like, I mean, that Anthony Richardson game was crazy, and dang, he looked really good. Like,
Yeah.
there, I pretty wild that he, and I think it honestly, like, the other playoff teams or the other teams that are going for the playoffs, I think lost an opportunity to gain ground on him this week,
Yeah.
because how often are you going to have his lineup not score any touchdowns and have pretty lackluster performances from multiple starters? Like, and only put up a whatever it was, a 109. Like, you every table point you can gain on some on Mike, who I think we both agree is a top three team this year,
Yeah.
is value added. So I think there are some teams that are going to look back on week one here in a month or so and wish that they'd, been able to scrape together another 5 to 10 points.
It's a great point about Mike. I did not realize he had no offensive touchdowns. I would have been whining about that in the group me so hard if that was me. I would have been like, no touchdowns for Josh. Fantasy football sucks.
Yeah. Kudos to Mike. I'll give him a shout out for that.
For real. And no complaining about it too, which is, big for him. I know he loves to complain. But yeah, it's I don't know. If I'm Sloan, I mean, Sloan and Tommy, I think week one, you don't want to overreact after week one. The table is a long season. Things will find their level. I think they're maybe a little bit disappointed. You saw Sloan make a lot of moves after week one, and we'll talk about him later on because I think he's was kind of seeing the writing on the wall of like either make some trades or you are out of the playoffs this year. So he went in on those moves. I'd like to ask you about last place. We saw Colin finish in last this week behind Ongood. Ongood did not
Yeah.
get last. Ongood made a lot of trades this week that I think are just basically in the I'm giving up on this year zone, I would say, is how I would describe what happened. You saw Colin finish last. Do you think Ongood has any shot at not finishing last, or are you just feeling like this was a weird week and it is what it is?
I mean, it was only a week ago that I was on here saying that there was no way that, I couldn't see a realm where Anga didn't finish last every single week, and he already proved me wrong. So I'm not going to come out here and have any hot takes and, on his team's performance. I do think like he kind of gives me the same vibe that Mike's team gave me like 2 years ago, where there are just a couple players in his lineup, specifically Dak and Joe Mixon. Although, wait, was Joe Mixon one of
He was
the trades this week?
Joe
I
Mixon
forget.
was traded to
Yeah.
Sloan, yes.
So, okay. Well, so that probably changes. We'll reevaluate this after. But for a week like week one, those two types of players, like, they just have such high floors that it feels like all you need is one team to just have a really terrible week and your guys to produce at that level, and you're able to avoid last. I still think I would put my money on him finishing last, especially after the trades this week. Because I agree, I think he's definitely committed to the long-term outlook. But yeah, I mean, it was an impressive performance in week one. He already made me eat my words.
I think there's no shot he doesn't finish last, especially after this week, but I think he had a decent shot at it. And I think that wraps my personal thoughts on week one. Anything you want to add, Brian, for week
Yeah.
one?
No, I think that was it. I think I hope that we are in for, many more weeks of this just kind of, anybody can finish anywhere
I hope
type
so
table
too.
performance. So,
That's what
yeah.
killed us last year, I think, on the podcast, is it was just so there was such an inevitability to the league.
Yeah.
And I really hope that we don't have that this year. And I think, we saw some trades so far this year that I think have kind of started to signal teams' decisions. The first one was between you and Ongood. I know, Brian, we were touching on it a little bit before the podcast. Why don't you give us some context into how the trade evolved to what it ended at?
Yeah, so Angad and I had talked about a Rashad White deal before week one. We originally he was looking for Jayden Reed as a part of the return. I had just acquired Jayden Reed in that big deal we talked about earlier, and I was pretty much telling him like I'm really high on Jayden Reed. I'm not really interested in moving him at this point. It would probably take a pretty ungodly return for me to want to trade him. Even though I do like Rashad White too. So we kind of tabled it last week. This last the week one happens. Jayden Reed especially has a huge, huge showing. He comes back to me, wants to kind of reignite the talks. And I pretty much tell him like Rashad or Jayden Reed is essentially untouchable for me right now. Like I'm only gonna take kind of a stupid return. For him, I'd rather just kind of ride the roller coaster and see where it lands. And see if maybe I found a diamond in the rough here. So we kind of pivoted away from that, but I was very adamant that I wanted, I liked Rashad White and I wanted to take a chance on him. We kind of haggled back and forth on the return. I was really interested in a Brian Robinson and a wide receiver a little bit worse than Khalil Shakir, honestly. I'm huge on Khalil Shakir. I think the rest of the league hates him, but I think he's good. But anyway, I didn't necessarily want to part with him in this deal, but Angad made it pretty clear that he wanted both Brian Robinson and Khalil Shakir as a part of this. So to me, like I think Rashad White is a little bit safer long term than Brian Robinson. I'd rather have like the consistent receiving threat in an offense than the rushing threat week to week. I hate giving up on Khalil Shakir because I drafted him as a rookie. He's finally Josh Allen's number one wide receiver, but I also understand that if Khalil Shakir doesn't have a great season this year, he's absolutely getting replaced next year. So, I again didn't want to take that risk. And I think in this deal too, like in giving up, I tried to learn my lesson from my Elijah Mitchell deal from the first offseason, where I forget what I gave up exactly, but I gave up kind of top tier assets for Elijah Mitchell after one good season, and I got burned by the, you know, the running back draft capital, you know, issue where when teams don't invest top picks in running backs, they don't necessarily stick with them. I could get burned with that again here. I mean, Rashad White was not, you know, a first round pick or anything like that, and they already have Bucky Irving there as well. So it's not, you know, it's not premier capital, but I also feel like I didn't give up enough that, you know, if I got burned, it would be a big issue. So what are your thoughts?
I like the trade for your team. Like this year, I think the ceiling of Rashad White is higher than Brian Robinson.
Yeah.
I think that Brian Robinson has a higher likelihood of having longevity in the league than Rashad White does. Rashad White is one of the least efficient rushing running backs in the NFL. Like, he is not a good running back. He's a great pass catching back. And, you know, I think there is value in that. And to be fair, the Bucks still seem to like Rashad White a lot. He had an awesome year last year. He's one of those like running backs with a top five finish that obviously you don't still put in the elite tier or even like A tier of running backs, you know, like especially considering his age. I think it's a good bet on this level of running back. It's one of the few in this range I would be actually interested in acquiring. So I like the deal for you. For Ongood, I don't know. A third round pick back for Rashad White. I might have just gone pure draft capital in terms of what I would have wanted for him and tried to get like a first for him, because I think that's pretty reasonable. I don't know if Brian Robinson, like what he really does for him long term. I mean, he's a decent starting piece when his lineup is really bad, but this one felt a little bit odd to me when I saw it come through. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, four quarters for a dollar kind of trade where I think the best asset is on one side. And third round picks, I think, are kind of everyone likes to have them, but they don't really amount in that much when you actually make picks with them. So,
100%. And I definitely want to do, you know, what maybe one of our midseason pods we'll go through and run through second, third, fourth round draft picks and figure out a hit rate for those. That'll be impactful. So anyway, I agree. Let's move on to the next deal here.
Yes, the next deal also involving Ongood, and this one a bit controversial. Brian has kept some secrecy heading into the podcast. We saw Joe Mixon moved. Joe Mixon had the best week one of any running back in the NFL this year. 150 yards, 30 carries, looked like an absolute stud on the Texans. And Ongood trades away Joe Mixon for a 2027 first from Sloan and Raheem Mostert. Raheem Mostert, questionable coming into the week, has since been ruled out since this trade was done. But, you know, in a vacuum, I think the trade is fine. I like the deal on Sloan's side to get a good running back. But the controversy comes in that there was undoubtedly a better offer on the table for Ongood. So, Brian, why don't you tell us what the other offer was that that you're aware of?
So, you know, we heard all these rumors last night about a better offer on the table. So I reached out to my sources. And my sources came back with, you know, that Mike Woods' team was offering Sloan's 2026 first, Ty Chandler, and two third-round picks as a return. So with that context in mind, kind of reanalyze the trade in terms of, you know, what was potentially left on the table.
I don't get it. Look, if anybody loves to spite Mike, you're talking to him right now, right? Like, this is the ultimate Mike spider. But at the same time, when your team is bad, you just have to get better, right? Like, and it doesn't matter. It's interesting to me that I want to know why Ongood wanted to spite Mike. It seems a little bit out of left field to me, I'm not going to lie, because I don't know what their history is that would, like, make him want to do that.
Maybe there's a budding rivalry here.
I know. Yeah. I know where it's going to go, but I just don't think you can do it. Cause I think there's a really big difference between a 2027 and a 2026 first, like in terms of the value of it. It is, you would probably have to, if you wanted to move into the first round, moving up a year or 2 years, you'd probably have to do a 2027 first and a 2027 second to get a 2026 first. Like, if you're trying to move up a year, is probably what it would take. So I don't know. The time matters, and I think it benefits Ongood's team to get assets earlier, or at least picks that he can trade a little bit earlier if he wants to go younger. So in isolation, I don't mind the deal. I think it's decent value for Joe Mixon at this point, but given the fact that he had a better deal, I think it's almost inexcusable. What about you?
Let me ask you one more question before I give you my thoughts. Is there any argument to be made that, given Sloan's roster makeup, a Sloan pick in 2027, when his players are 3 years older, has the chance to be more valuable than a Sloan pick in 2026 when his players are only 2 years older? Like, is there any, and I'm not even saying that's what I believe. I just am curious. I think that's probably the only argument you could make, and I'm curious for how valid you think that is.
Personally, I am pretty against trying to guess how good or bad rosters will be that far in the future, because there's nothing that stops Sloan from trading his 2028 first and his 2029 first to have a decent roster in those years. Because once Sloan trades his 2027 first, he has really no incentive to be bad in that year, right? Like, he should do whatever he can to continue to be in the playoffs. So I don't know. I think it's actually more beneficial to get the first from Mike instead of Sloan, because now Sloan has no 2026 or 2027 first. Like, he's just kind of like he should just keep trying to win, right? That's all he should do. He's kind of doing the same thing that you are, just trading the picks over and over again. So I don't know. I wouldn't do that. What are your thoughts?
I think it's important to recognize that, like, in a vacuum, I think both these are smart deals for Ongood. I think they both move his team in the right direction. But I do tend to agree that I think if I were in his position, I probably would have taken Mike's offer. If only because Ty Chandler is a younger version of Raheem Mostert, and fits the timeline a little bit better. And then the two thirds are just two shots at the dartboard that you weren't getting in the, in the deal with Sloan. I think he got good enough value for Mixon, especially when Mixon does very little to serve his team this year. Or, does a lot this year but doesn't do much going forward. But I think if I were in his position, I probably would have gone with Mike's deal. But you got to add in the opportunity cost of not being able to spite Mike, though. There's always that adjusted value to consider too. So,
Yeah. I like that we have a little bit of that in the league. Like, you do
yeah.
need a little bit of, like let's say Ongood is the Knicks, right? Like, and Mike is the Nets, right? Like, obviously they just did the Mikal Bridges deal, but before that, it had been forever since those two teams did a deal, right? You can't trade with your main rival. I'm personally very for people not trading with Mike right now. You could boycott me too. Do whatever you want. A lot of you just ghost my texts anyway. So it's the equivalent of that. But I think we've talked about it a lot from Ongood's side. From Sloan's side, I kind of love the deal, honestly. I mean, you're buying high on
Totally.
Mixon, I will say, after week one, right? Like, I love the timing of this deal for Ongood, because Mixon's value before this, I think, would have maybe been a second round pick or something weird like that. But he had a huge week one, looks like a stud. I think Sloan made some bets to go in. I like this as his first one. He needed a little bit more depth. And I think, he was able to keep his 2025 first, which I think is huge, because it still gives him the chance to get one more asset to continue to go in this year, which I really like.
Yeah, I agree. Definitely. What are you so give me your rundown on your deal with Sloan here. Just to recap everybody, it was so Josh received Kirk Cousins and Sloan's 2025 third. Sloan received Jordan Mason. Give me your thoughts.
So this is a bet kind of on my side of, like, I think Jordan Mason has a limited window of relevancy. And I don't think they're gonna, like, I think McCaffrey will be out for probably, let's say, 4 to 6 weeks at a reasonable pace. I don't think this is like a season-ending injury because we made the deal after the Achilles tendonitis thing came out, right? Like, you know that that's a, you know, 6 week in 6 to 8 week injury. Like, if you just whatever. Obviously, these people are superhuman, so they can heal a little bit faster than normal people. But my thought is, Jordan Mason is a very niche player, right? Like, he only has appeal to one team in the league, and that is the person who owns Christian McCaffrey. And so it's going to be hard to find another team who would pay me as much as Sloan would. And Kirk Cousins had a really bad week one, right? Before the, this is a classic, like, this is why you work the waiver wire kind of trade right here, where you take, like, this is where you start with a dollar and you turn it into something else, like, really long term. Kirk Cousins coming off a bad week one, off the Achilles injury, you're like, I don't know, is he done forever, right? Like, he probably sucks now. I think is kind of the consensus is he's old, he's bad at this point. Personally, I think that's the perfect kind of asset to trade for. Kirk Cousins still has value. He is getting paid $180 million over the next 4 years. Like, the price of not paying him at this point is huge. It basically destroys your roster for the next 2 years if you decide not to pay and play him. So I get Kirk Cousins, which is a quarterback and also a player with a lot broader appeal, was kind of my thought. Every team wants a quarterback. Kirk Cousins isn't the most ideal player to have as a quarterback. He is older. He is coming off a big injury, but the offense is still good. So the goal for me there, target Sloan. I offered Kirk like pretty early on for Jordan Mason. I think it was the first player offered. I offered straight up. Sloan kind of like ghosted me for a few hours, said he would agree to it. But then the news about the Achilles tendonitis came out, and I was like, I think I need a pick two on top of it. So I get the third there. It's a deal that I'm very surprised to see Sloan make because any trade calculator that you enter this into has it like a total loss, but it's a perfect deal for Sloan. I mean, and he needs Jordan Mason. I don't think he's a lock for the playoffs unless he has, like, he has so little depth. He needs studs. And Jordan Mason proved that he can be a stud when he's a bye week filler. And so I think the deal makes sense for both of us. It makes me feel good, you know, about like working the waivers like that in the offseason because it's a pretty good return, at least at this point. Even if Kirk Cousins sucks, like, I have Michael Penix, so I do get a little bit of a hedge there in terms of like I have the backup, so it's not too big of a deal.
Yep. Yeah, the first thing I thought of when I saw this trade come through is Josh is the only one in the league that this would work for.
Yeah.
Like, just for some reason, just, you know, whether it's people not working the waiver wire as much or just luck of the draw, it just feels like this was, you know, a classic thing to have fall in your lap. But anyway, I mean, you did a nice job capitalizing on it. And it's a steep price to pay for your, you know, handicap for Sloan. But I agree. There's like when you have the best running back in the league, you need to be ready to fill it, you know, be able to fill in for them if they go down. And Sloan doesn't really have the depth to, you know, go elsewhere to replace Christian McCaffrey. And you're right. I mean, a 6 week Christian McCaffrey injury probably ends Sloan's season if he doesn't, you know, if he doesn't find a solution for it. For you, at first I didn't get why. Other than just the starting quarterback, you know, the power of a starting quarterback, I didn't get necessarily why you liked getting Kirk Cousins back in that deal. But and I think your reasoning you provided makes sense, but it's also nice because like you had an outside shot, correct me if I'm wrong, of not having a third starting quarterback based on the way, you know, bye weeks could fall down the line. Like if Jacoby Brissett were to be, you know, overtaken by Drake May as a starting quarterback in New England, if that lined up with when your starting quarterbacks were out, you could potentially have weeks where you wouldn't have two startable quarterbacks. And Kirk Cousins kind of further protects you from ever having to go down that road. So I think that's kind of an added value to it. Not that that's the reason you made the trade. I'm not saying that by any means,
Yeah.
but it is kind of an extra, you know, added token, I think, on your side.
For sure. I mean, I do have Drake May, which helps on the Brissett side of like if
That's
he gets
true.
benched, I have May.
Yeah.
But I don't really love the idea of activating people off of
Yeah.
the taxi unless I have to, because I do really like my bench. Like there's not a lot of people I really want to drop. So
Yeah.
yeah, it just works. I think that Kirk Cousins will have more broad appeal to everyone in the league. especially as people start to get desperate. If Kirk Cousins continues to suck, that whatever, so be it. But I don't think the Achilles injury doesn't seem to be at this point something that would make a quarterback go from pretty good in the last season to absolutely atrocious the next season.
You know what Kirk Cousins is? Kirk Cousins is the exact quarterback that I was thinking about last week that Mike needs on his team for his strategy. Like, Mike has all these quarterbacks that he's using as positional advantage, but he has no quarterbacks that he can just flip to somebody for a late first, 2 seconds, or, a young flex player or something like that.
Yeah.
It's either you have to like mortgage the future to go get one of his quarterbacks, or you have to look elsewhere.
Yeah.
And I'm like, so it's just funny. It's like, this is exactly the type of quarterback that I think would have really benefited Mike. And he probably, Mike, with hoarding all those quarterbacks, probably could have pushed even more leverage to upgrade his return for a Kirk Cousins
Yeah.
than like what a Sloan was able to do here. So I think both, this is a good example of like a trade that definitely helps both teams. You had no need for Jordan Mason. Sloan has all the need in the world for Jordan Mason. It makes sense.
I'm kind of trying to be a Mike Jr. a little bit. I kind of like the strategy. I mean, I'm pretty QB heavy
Yeah.
at this point, especially with what I did after the rookie draft last year.
Yeah.
So, I
And
mean,
I
it's
had
just
forgotten about all
finding
your
the,
rookies. I,
yeah. So
yeah.
it fits in well. But yeah, so that was a good one. I think we can skip over the Dameon Pierce for a fourth. I think that's just kind of a nothing. I mean, it's good backup
Yep.
for Sloan to have. The last big trade was between Mike and Matt. Matt trades away Jared Cook for a first, second, and a third. The first is Sloan's in 2026. The second is Brian is your pick in 2026, and then Mike's 2027 third. Brian, I'm interested to hear your perspective on this, given what we talked about earlier. What are your thoughts on this deal?
To me, the like I guess that golden rule I'm talking about is a I apply it to teams that are competitive and looking for, that are trying to win, in the next season or two. I think Matt realizes that he's not, seriously competing for a championship, although he did have a great week one, over these next 2 or 3 years. So I honestly think it's a good deal for both sides. Like, for as big of a deal it is, it's rare for, me to feel that way. But I mean, I'm proud of Mike for cashing in on some of his assets and,
Yeah.
not having to just completely dominate a deal to go through. Like, I think this is a fair deal on both sides.
For sure.
And I think it was smart for Mike to cash in some of these chips for somebody that can, raise his team to the next level. He running back was his biggest weak spot, and this is a huge, piece to help, cover that gap. For Matt, the sheer quantity of picks that Matt has over the next 2 years, like,
It's
boy,
crazy.
he better be good in 3 or 4 years. Like, he's gonna have so many shots at the dartboard. Like, it's gonna be a treasure trove of players here in a couple of years.
I don't know why Matt is doing the full teardown, though. I feel like
Yeah.
his team is decent enough. If he keeps James Cook, Pacheco, Kenneth Walker, there are some pieces there, like Lamar Jackson, obviously. I don't know, four firsts next year. It's so fun to draft rookies and then watch them potentially become like the next stars. And you're seeing it with Mike's team of like what that journey can be like if you do it the most ideal way. And he has the assets for it, but I don't know. It's weird because we're seeing some teams go with the full teardown, like Ongood and Matt. I would say both of them are doing like a teardown strategy. And then we have the retool teams, which are like you and Colin and
Austin, I would say.
Austin. Yeah, Austin and Sloan, honestly, to an extent at this point.
Yeah.
It's interesting to see like how that'll end up working in the long term. I think it's a little bit harder in our league because we have such juggernauts at the top that like it almost could feel like you need to go all in to win. But you see, Tommy just three-peated. So, we haven't even talked about him that much this podcast. So I don't
Yeah.
know. I like the deal. I think it's very fair, and it's a perfect ad for Mike, you know, to get a young running back who's good without by just giving up draft capital, right? Where he would probably have had to take James Cook with those picks. So I think it's more of just like a timing hedge for Matt, which makes
Yeah.
sense. I mean, if you can take the value, just capitalize on it when you can. It's like a way to lock it in.
Yeah. I think I agree with you about Matt's team. The only hesitancy I have is, in my opinion, like obviously Lamar Jackson is his best asset, but I would say like his next strongest position group is running back. And running back is just such a volatile position group to be heavy in. And you know, a year can change a lot for running backs with the wear and tear and the way that, you know, like the way that teams don't want to pay them. Like, I don't think that's something that we talk about enough. Like, the Isaiah Pacheco, like, I correct me if I'm wrong, I don't believe he's signed an extension in Kansas City yet.
I don't think so.
Like, Kansas City is absolutely drafting a running back in the first 3 or 4 rounds next year to take snaps from Pacheco and then eventually replace him, you know, if unless Pacheco has a huge season and they extend him. So it's like, unless you have one of those top five, six, seven running backs that is totally going to get paid by their team and be given the bulk, you know, bulk of the snaps, the Jonathan Taylors of the world, you know, the Saquon Barkleys of the world, you know, that tier of running back, Christian McCaffrey, obviously. It's a risky endeavor because they're, you know, teams don't want to invest in them. So teams are always thinking 2, 3, 4 years down the line of how they're going to replace these guys when they don't want to pay them. And I mean, we've seen what running back free agency can be. Like, running back free agency can be Saquon Barkley going to the Eagles and, you know, probably improving his stock as a fantasy player, or Saquon Barkley can be, or you know, running back free agency can be Tony Pollard going to the Titans and a year later already being kind of replaced by Tajae Spears. Like, you know, it's a weird, you know, 2 years ago we thought Dylan had a great asset and Tony Pollard's not bad, but it's just his ceiling is capped.
It's
So
why
I
the
don't know. To
draft
me,
capital matters so much with the running backs, like because like you see a Bijan or a Saquon or a,
yeah.
you know, like unless you are an incredible running back, like some of these older guys still are, but like I mean the McCaffreys, like a lot of these guys who are still around, it's because they were taken so early, and the Breece Halls, like the elite talents. It's just so rare that they get paid unless you have like the prestige around your name. So I think you're
Yeah.
right. I think there's probably more moves coming for Matt. I think Pacheco is an interesting like offer, like person to get rid of and just kind of like, what do you like, just hold something, put something in there so you don't finish dead last, but maybe he doesn't care about finishing dead last. I don't know.
Yeah.
I would be scared if
I
I was
think
him to
the
finish last. I feel like we need to do something. Like, I don't know. Matt should not have to do this. This feels
I
like it
agree.
could be.
Yes.
I do not want any kind of injury long term. We should figure
Yes.
out what the workaround is here, but Matt does not need to be scared for his life
I
for leaving
totally agree.
the
I
NFL
totally
now.
agree.
Okay, good.
Yes, that's that very, very accurate. We can revisit that if it becomes a possibility. I think the asset that Matt, in my opinion, needs to trade like yesterday is David Montgomery. Like, David Montgomery has really good value right now, but the second that Jahmyr Gibbs, you know, takes that leap and starts taking 70% of the snaps, David Montgomery plummets. And that is just one where if I'm Matt, like, David Montgomery does nothing for you, you know, in this rebuild that you're working on, like, go cash in now, in my opinion. Like,
It's tough
that
to find buyers for vets though, Brian.
I know,
Nobody.
you're right. You're
He's
right.
like a
There is.
weird tier of running back too, where he's kind of like the like RB2, RB3 tier, you know, like he doesn't have elite upside if he actually pans out. Like he's totally capped by Gibbs. So I think earlier I offered Matt a 2025 second for Montgomery and Josh Palmer, and he was like totally out on that, which I get,
Yeah.
you know, like that's a, I mean, In retrospect, maybe you do that deal this week, but before the season starts, Josh Palmer kind of had some fun ambition around him, like in terms of what he could be. But yeah, I agree with
Send him to
you.
Sloan. Like, Sloan just bought another one of his handicaps. He might buy another. You never know.
That's a good idea. Yeah. I mean, Sloan's starting Jeff Wilson this week. You'd much rather
Yeah.
be starting David Montgomery. Like, Montgomery is a guy I would love to buy. This is going to sound so shitty, but I say shitty stuff about fantasy all the time. But my team is just so deep. It just doesn't make any sense to have a guy like Montgomery on my team. Like,
Yeah, no.
I would love to buy him, though. I mean, it's such a great value for an asset like that on a team that he has no reason to be on. So I think you're
Yeah.
totally right.
Yeah.
All right, Brian, we've covered the trades. We've covered week one. It was honestly, a great, all you could ask for a podcast. Lots of activity, lots of
Totally.
action. Anything you
Keep
want
it
to
coming,
say?
guys.
Yeah, keep it coming. Keep the trades coming. Anything you want to add before we close? Anything you're excited about for week two?
I think kind of the last thing I'm curious for your input on is, it's always fun in that, after week one, like having those overreactions to certain players. Do you have, like of that group that really underperformed in week one, is there like one or two players where you're like the overreaction is totally justified and like, they're screwed?
I do.
Is it Joe Burrow?
No, it's not Joe Burrow. I think it's not Joe Burrow. It's for sure not. I think my first one is Dalton Kincaid. I actually think that I
Yeah.
if I look, there was a reason I was like, I need to get off this before the season started.
Yeah.
And it's just, I don't know, Josh Allen is a weird quarterback. He's like really good, but there's only ever been like one actually productive player that has played on his team, and it's Stefon Diggs, and he like left. I don't know. He's kind of a weird quarterback to have as your fantasy guy. So that's my first one. The second one I'm a little concerned with. I'm not trying to like target Mike out here, but the Marvin Harrison Jr. thing was kind of weird, right? Like, he was on the field for 97% of snaps and got one target that game. I'm not saying for sure that he's bad. But it is one of those things where if he has 3 or 4 weeks like this, that you start to get a little bit like worried, especially considering when you look at the landscape of all the other rookie wide receivers. Neighbors had a good week one, Ladd McConkey, like Keon Coleman had a pretty good week, Xavier Leggett, like these guys all looked pretty decent. Marvin Harrison Jr. was like the stud. So that's probably my other one. Honestly, yeah, those are probably my two big two. What about you? Any guys you're worried about?
One that is on my own team is T. Higgins. Like, after just the absolute roller coaster that he took me through last year, to then come back with no injury concerns all through the preseason, and then pull a hammy in a contract year after he'd requested a trade. Like, I don't think that he's all of a sudden bad. I'm like, oh shoot, I hope this is not a season where we are quote unquote injured every other week so that we're not getting some massive ACL tear in our contract year.
Yeah.
Like, I just and I don't even mean to like put that out there that that's what he's doing. For all I know, it was a serious hamstring strain, and he was
Thank
just being smart. I'm not trying to like accuse him of that, but that's just I can't help but
you,
think
Brian.
that.
If T
So
listens to this, he's gonna be like, fuck you, Brian.
I know
Like, you faker.
I love you, T. You know I do. The other one the other one that was like weirdly concerning to me was Chris Olave. Like, his team puts up 47
That's
points
a good one.
and he got two targets for 11 yards. Like, I don't really know what to make of that. I think I just make of that like Derek Carr is a quarterback that doesn't throw it more than 10 yards down the field and just loves ch you know checking it down to his running backs and tight ends. But like, I don't know what. Yeah, that's just a weird one where I'm just like, I'm grateful that I don't have Olave and don't have to like sort that out. But yeah,
I like Olave
those
a
are two
lot.
that
That's a
I'm a
good
little
pick.
panicked. Yeah.
I think that Olave could be headed for that like eternal wide receiver 20 zone where you're like, this guy's nice to have on my team, but like I could find fillers for him. Like that would be just as good, but I wouldn't have had to pay as much as I paid for this guy. I will add one person from my team just to not single out Mike too. I think there is a little bit of concern about Travis Kelce. I don't know if you watched the Thursday night football game,
I
but he
did.
just looks very slow to me. Like just a very slow guy out there. And when you also put him next to like Xavier Worthy and Rashee Rice, who just like looked very good in week one. He's 34. I think there's this, you know, it's bound to end at some point. I don't know if this is it. It was a horrible week one for every tight end not named Isaiah Likely. So,
What's your what where do you stand on the whole Mark Andrews Isaiah Likely thing? Like what? Was this a fluke?
I mean, Likely had that incredible preseason in his rookie year, like, and he was building buzz. Like, there was buzz around Likely. I don't think it's a fluke, honestly. I think
Don't
that
either.
he is like, I think he's actually good. I don't know. I don't know what it'll look like over the course of the year. I don't think it'll be like it was in week one. Mark Andrews will get more targets. Like, I don't just think every single tight end that was good went to being bad all of a sudden after week one, but I do. I think that he's there to stay. I think he has a top 10 year.
Yeah, I like that. That's a good hot take. We should revisit that, towards the end of the season. I agree with you though. I don't think that it means the end of Mark Andrews or anything like that, but I think Isaiah Likely is now a flex option,
Yeah. Brian,
for Matt. So
are there any guys who had really good week ones who you're like, this is a fluke, like get off them right now?
Let me look through. You give me, if you have an answer, you give me your answer while I kind of do a quick run through and see what my answer to that is.
I think so. One for me is like, obviously, Saquon looked really good in week one. Like, he had a huge week. I think, like, I would put Saquon and Mixon in the same category of like, they had a great week one. I think they find a bit more of like normalcy than what they're actually kind of looking at, like, long term. So, that would be my first one. My second one is like, it's kind of a weird one, and it's again like two players that are very similar. It's kind of like the Jaden Daniels, Anthony Richardson, where like they put up a ton of fantasy points. I think there's like a legitimate risk of them like getting severely, severely injured this year, as you saw last year. And so I don't know if that's it, in the full spirit of this category, probably not, but it's just kind of like would I, it's just players where I'm thinking about like they had a great week. Would I try and sell high on them if I could? So that's kind of what I'm thinking about.
Okay, so my answer is a pair of Texans. It's Joe Mixon and Stephon Diggs. I don't think they're like washed or anything. I don't think you can count on 15 to 25 fantasy points from those two in offense that has as many weapons as that Texans offense has.
That's a good call out. I like
Those are
that.
two that like I would not be, I mean, we talked about the Mixon deal
That's
earlier,
okay,
like
Brian.
it
You
makes
cannot
sense.
buy Stefon Diggs.
But I would not buy Stephon Diggs just because I don't think it's a reliable output. I had another one. Let me circle back here. I mean, as funny as this is, just given the amount of time that we spent talking about him, I think Jayden Reed is the obvious answer. Jayden
That is a good
Reed,
answer.
especially
Yeah.
without Jordan Love for the,
Yeah.
probably the next couple weeks. Like I'm seriously considering not starting Jayden Reed after a 32-point performance, which is kind of crazy, but
Well, it is Malik Willis at quarterback, so you can feel pretty good about that being a bad decision to start him.
But it's also against the Colts, so it's like you never know. But yeah, that's one that I in even if even that information aside, I think that was potentially a career game for Jayden Reed. So I'm I don't expect that level of production, so or even half that level of production some weeks. So,
For sure. Same goes for Alec Pierce too. We could add him into this list, but I don't think anybody thinks that he'll continue to be good. So,
Totally.
No doubt there. Okay, Brian, it was great talking to you this week. We've been going for a while. I love it. I'm looking forward to doing it again next week, but thanks for hopping on the pod tonight.
Yeah, definitely. Happy week two, guys. Enjoy the games.
All right, see you guys. Bye-bye.